Up Tua Tagovailoa, and I like Tua a lot. He got the big extension, and I really like the way he plays football. I loved him at Alabama. Now he has some injuries or whatnot, which limited his mobility, but he's playing good football. He obviously made the airwaves. He made the headlines this week with Brian Flores. What did you think of that whole situation? Because Flores came out and spoke. I don't know if it was an apology, but obviously
it wasn't.
I think he learned, but I don't know. It didn't sound like it. I was a little disappointed about that. He didn't really address it.
He just I respect. I wish nothing but the best. So that was, he didn't really respond to what Tua said. And Tua's not on this podcast out trashing him. It's not who he is. He's just not. But like, he's seen the contrast between one guy that's like really like on him, like just trashing him, and another guy that's loving him up every day. And now he's having, he had a phenomenal season last year. Now the talent around him is ridiculous and way better than it ever was.
Right.
When Brian was there. So that's a part of it too. But Mike McDaniel can flat out coach offense. Like, he's just doing things that even Kyle isn't doing and McVay isn't doing. Like, he's just, and look, there was a reason why Kyle wouldn't let him out of the building, in Cleveland, Atlanta, San Francisco. He wouldn't let him leave. Like, he was the brains behind the run game. And so you see that now. And so, Tua's just in a better position with way better talent around him.
There's been so much made of Flores, his demeanor, and this and they're like, hey, we've all worked for different bosses. They have different vibes. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talked about you this morning coming in here, just a different vibe. I think a lot about the Patriot culture and how it doesn't fit everyone.
Yep.
And seeing Bill treat Tom a certain way for 15, 20 years, I'm sure that, Charlie Weiss and Cronell and Brian Flores, they all picked up on that, and that way was working for that culture, but that doesn't necessarily work in every other culture.
Now, I remember Parcells' nickname for Belichick.
What was it?
Gloom.
Gloom.
What's Gloom doing over there today? Yeah. How's he doing?
So, but a lot of guys, certain guys can respond to that. Yes. Other people don't respond to that.
No, it's culture. Like, I saw Mac Jones this summer in Jacksonville. And they had this this long drive period where they could go 10 plays, 12, 14, 16 plays. So Doug Peterson, I'm in the end zone. He goes, come on, you're going to want to see this, Baldy. So I'm standing behind the huddle and I'm watching. So I'm standing next to Mac Jones because the play's coming through him. So I'm listening to the play. I'm like, damn, Mac, you look like you're having some fun. everybody's like he's a different guy. Now, he played really good last week, but he's smiling. He's like he's having fun. And that really wasn't that wasn't what you did there in New England.
No, Todd.
Winning made up for all of that.
It's funny because you brought up Gloom and Belichick, and I go back to the little, I think it was a Football Life or 30 for 30, when Lawrence Taylor, when Belichick got the job for D.C. Yeah. for the New York Giants, Lawrence Taylor's like, I'm not playing for this guy, Belichick. Parcells, you call the defense. And Parcells like, trust me, man, this guy's a genius, man. He's a genius. He does so many different things. He goes, this Belichick guy, he looks like a nerd. And then midway through the year, he's telling Parcells, hey, man, you was right. This guy is a genius, man. He's got me running all over the place. We're coming up with concepts left and right. What's your favorite? Tell us about some interactions with Belichick, because I think he's a star on television, man. He's good.
Amazing.
I'll say this. I remember a couple things. First of all, his father is Steve Belichick. His dad coached at the Naval Academy forever. Well, my dad coached with Steve back in the day. They were both the plebe coach for 2 years. My dad left the Naval, graduated from the Naval Academy, went to work, and he came back and he coached the plebe with Steve. So my mom remembers when little Billy was running around the field when he was 4 or 5 years old. And he was literally with it. My dad knew that coaching was his. He hated recruiting and he hated watching film. Well, that's what Steve did all day long. So anyway, 2 years go by. But my mom remembers Bill when he's running around the field, literally coming into the film room with the 16 millimeter projectors, whatever they had back then, and on his dad's lap, watching film with his dad. So that's that. So that's the one thing. One year I'm at the combine, and every team has their own booth at the combine. So the Patriots had just won a championship. So they're crowned champions. I forget what year it was. So my buddy Mike Lombardi was on that staff. So I'm walking around and I see Todd Bowles, and Todd's coaching in New York. So I see Todd. So the next booth is the Patriots. So Lombardi sees me. He waves me in. So, there's Bill, right? You kind of get frozen a little bit because So anyways, Bill says hello. We're talking everything. And he's in this mood where he's not even paying attention. They're the champions, right? Not even paying attention to the field, who's running, who's time. So he's telling these stories. So he's going through all his ex-players, Damian Woody, Heath Evans, guys that are now in the media. And he is, it's literally like the ultimate roast. It's like Saturday Night Live. Like, he's roasting every single guy. And you're like, this guy's got you on his, like, he's got you laughing so hard. Like, the cynicism and, like, that dry humor is just there. And you're like, nobody sees this. Nobody sees this. You know, and it's a shame because he's really good. You know, so, like, he's just, he knows everything about the game. Like, everything. Like, nothing eludes him. So I think he's going to bring that to TV this year. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I know that taking a year off, there's some benefits to that, kind of resetting your brain and whatnot. Sean Payton did that. Mm-hmm. I was shocked nobody went after him.
I don't know what Atlanta was thinking. Like, nothing against, you know, Raheem. But, like, he if you put Bill in that, with that roster, like, I don't know. Maybe they win it all. Like, I mean, maybe Raheem will, too. I'm not trashing Raheem. Yeah. But I don't know how you could interview Bill Belichick and not say, okay, like, this can be fresh start. Let's go.
You think he comes back? You think he comes back?
Oh, I absolutely do. I think he's got this because he's a lifer. Like, he lives for the grind. There are certain people that live for the grind of practice and routine and all that. Like, look at him. Like, I'm sure he's having a nice time with a pause in his life right now. But most of these guys, he lives for this, right?
Well, I mean, he's up at the University of Washington. His son's up there coaching. He knows a bunch of the staff up there. And he's like, he's got the whistle and he's out there on the field and like, it's just home, you know?
He Shanahan wanted to bring him in. He was like, what role do you want? What role do you want? Come in the building.
I remember one time I'm in Foxborough. They had a playoff game. Maybe it was Tennessee, whoever it was. So I'm working for Fox, so I got to do the post-game interview. So Richard Seymour, right? So it's like the divisional. I don't think it's the NFC. I don't think it's the AFC championship.
Divisional round game.
I think it's a divisional round game. So anyways, I got Seymour. We're ready to go live, right? So I got Richard there, and, you know, he's the star of the game, whatever. So Belichick is walking by off the field, and he walks by us, and then he comes back, and he grabs Seymour, like, off the interview. And he's like, we got another game to play. Like, stop. They were just a little bit
Belichick's like hilarious, that. Man. Hey, by the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and AC1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. That last segment sponsored by Go to State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. Do not forget, we are qualifying two lucky people today to have breakfast with the roast September the 6th on the Friday. They get ready for football season. Don't forget Monday Night Football, September the 9th, but we'll have breakfast provided by Jack's Restaurant. That'll be happening. We'll do that between 7:30 and 8 o'clock. So you want to be tapped in for that. And I'll give out the number with that one there. 49ers, Ayuk, Trent Williams, Shask, my guy Shasky's over here. A little worried. I get it. The vibe's been off. Mm-hmm. Have you felt that just through Twitter, from what you hear from your Mike Garofalo from NFL Network?
The story is the story, right? So you got two stars on the team that they're clearly not as good without. And so nobody's talking about the development of Dominic Pooney or what they're going to do, you know, at certain positions. Nobody's talking about Malik Mustafa. You know, nobody's talking about any of these guys. And they should be. Or the return of Hufanga. You know, like, they're talking about these stories. So the vibe is going to be off because two of your biggest stars aren't there.
You think it's off within the team, though? And then I locker room in the film room. Or are they? Fred Warner's there. George Kittle's there. We're going to talk to Kittle.
Yeah.
Juszczyk.
Yeah, Dre Greenlaw's coming back. You know, so, you know, I don't think it's going to be. And, you know, and then you come off a Super Bowl loss in overtime like it did. Like, it's not going to be as positive as it probably was last year at this time.
You know, I looked at Nick Bosa. You spent a lot of time in the offseason with Nick Bosa, which is I want to pick your brain about. Watching him year one, I'm like, wow, 21 years old. He looks like the best defensive player on the team. He's throwing grown men like sacks of potatoes. And he had a monster DPOY year, monster. Mm-hmm. Even though he had the groin injury that year, I mean, he took over fourth quarter games. Mm-hmm. Thought last year was like a really disappointing year for him. He's one of my favorite players. Like, I told Bonte after like a year and a half, I'm like, he might be an all-time 49er already. Like, mm-hmm. That's how good he is talent-wise. You're looking at a Hall of Fame talent-level mm-hmm. player. How much did it wear on him this offseason, how last year went down? Just his particular play.
Well, I'll tell you a story. I can't tell you this one story on the air. I'll tell you off the air. But, like, the Super Bowl was a downer. You know, like, it's just, you know, it's what it's supposed to be all about. And you're right there. And, you know, you can't bring home, you can't bring home the bacon, you know. And so they don't have a trophy. So that, but, like, the contract thing wore him down. Like, I remember talking to him in Pittsburgh. They played Pittsburgh opening game last year. I see him on the field. You know, he's got the thing is behind him. They got it done. But it's like, you know, I go, you ever read the contract, Nick? He goes, he's like this. It's like a novel, you know? Like, you don't read these things. But, like, at some point, you just tell your agent just to stop calling me. Like, you just don't want to know because you're going to hear the things that you don't want to hear from the team because it's a business. So it wears you out. And I think he was worn out a little bit by the whole thing. Like, you're relieved. Like, the best day is when you actually sign it and you're just relieved. It's over. But it doesn't make you really feel that much better. You know, and so there's a, while you get it and you can't complain about it because, you know, you're set for life and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, it just wears you down. And you're not with your teammates the whole offseason.
Damn. That's fascinating here. Now, coming into this season, because they're going to need him. We talked about the depth of the D-line. How does Leonard Floyd pair with Nick Bosa?
Because as you mentioned, said that he's impressed by Leonard.
Right.
Just through the offseason, being around him, seeing the juice that he has, he said, we're already going to be better.
So for the fans who don't know who Leonard Floyd is, what type of defensive end is he? Is he run first? Is he pass rush?
Well, specialist? The good thing is that in this new, you know, Sorensen defense, they're going to ask their defensive ends to be sort of like a little like T.J. Watt. You know, you're going to drop. You're going to stand up. You know, you're not going to be in the flat covering running backs, but you're going to be doing certain things to bring pressure from the other side. You got to balance it up. And so Leonard Floyd has been doing that his whole career. He did that with the Rams in the Super Bowl. He did that with Buffalo. He's done that in Chicago. He's done that in a lot of places. And so I think he's a natural at it. So I think that's going to be good. And the fact is that, you know, he's long. You know, he plays hard. He understands the game. And he's been largely healthy throughout his career.
Well, they've been chasing the D-Ford production since he went down. And that was like, it felt like the ultimate compliment opposite Bosa. Now, in retrospect, I think Niner fans realize how important he was. Bonte was screaming it to the high heavens. Like, D-Ford's really good. Yeah. When he's out there, it changes the defense. And it feels like they've been trying to find that guy opposite Bosa for the last
Drake
4 years since D-Ford.
All the guys they've drafted, no doubt. And he needs a compliment. Everybody does. I mean, you got to take some of, you thought maybe Chase could be that guy when he came, but you need that guy. I mean, everybody, like I was talking to Josh Allen in Jacksonville, he's got Trayvon Walker. Mm-hmm. They're a really good tandem. Like, they work really hard. Like, they're going to be really good together this year. And if you get that third guy, like Javon can be, and I mean, the Eagles had 70 sacks.
Right.
And Javon was the key guy. Like, his ability to collapse pockets from the inside allowed Hassan to get his numbers. And, like, all these guys got their numbers. Josh Sweat got his numbers, and Fletcher did, and Brandon Graham did that year. Like, you need three. You just, otherwise, the protection, you can chip the edge. You can, you know, slide to the one guy. Like, you need a third guy that can, because you can't double all these guys on these pass protections.
Well, we're going to have to do like an all Baldy team. That's what YouTube is saying. We need an all Baldy team. Mm-hmm. Also, real quick before the break, when you do break down players, who's the one guy you're like, oh man, I'm going to have a lot of fun with this one?
Well, I mean, George Kittle blocking is a lot of fun. Like, watching George just take delight and just planting guys into the turf is like, I mean, Trent just on, like, not even on the play side blocks, but on his backside blocks, he does something nobody else in this league can do. He just takes that defensive end and they're coming, you know, they're trying to come out low, and he grabs him by the back of the helmet and he slams him to the ground. And then he goes on to the second level. Nobody can execute that block the way Trent can.
Any concern with him missing camp, or is Trent just a veteran that you say, you know what, he could plug and play? Or does he need a week or two to get ready for the New York Jets?
I'm assuming he's back in Longview, Texas. There's not a whole lot to do in Longview, as far as I know. Hopefully, he's out in some high school field and he's, you know, he's doing his shuffles. If he's doing that, then I have no concerns.
More with Baldy. He's here all day long.
I want to get into the Bosa, like, some elements to his game. He's got to showcase this year. Felt very, you know, like, in the words of like a Steph Curry, every year he added, I'm going to give the mid-range. I'm going to do the finishing around the rim. You got to add to your game, and I want to pick your brain on that.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.